Welcome back to another episode of the 4th and 24 podcast with Patrick Winograd. This is your host for today, Patrick Winograd, once again. This is episode 267. This is a pre-recorded episode, I will say, full disclosure, at the very beginning, because I will not be adding anything extra. So sorry if there was anything amazing that happens in the Euros or in Wimbledon. Well, Wimbledon hasn't started yet, but anything that happens that's amazing in the Euros or in Copa America, I won't cover it this week. I'll cover it next week instead. But this week, we do have a special edition for a very special conference. Of course, that being the Pac-12 and then also the Mountain West. Just to go through some odd little rules quirks of this season in college football. Of course, you have the Pac-12 that has, you know, two teams, Oregon State and Washington State. We'll start there, but the interesting thing to note is that they, of course, play a ton of teams from the Mountain West, and because of that, the Mountain West schedule is actually only 7 games in conference, which is a little bit odd, of course, but look, that's the way it is this year. It's 7 conference games for the Mountain West, and then most of them play 2 games against, or play a game against at least one of Oregon State or Washington State. Some of them play both. Some of them play just one, some of them play just Oregon State, some of them play just Washington State. It's kind of hard to quantify really in an easy-to-digest way, but we'll start with Oregon State, who I think will be the best team of this group, excluding one team in the Mountain West that I'll get to later. But Oregon State, I have going 8-4 on the season, which makes them the unofficial winner of the Pac-12, that's really the Pac-2. I do have them beating Washington State in their matchup at home. In terms of Oregon State's losses, I do have them losing at home to Oregon. That's obviously going to be a really big game early in the season. I'm really glad those two got together and were able to figure out a way to keep that rivalry scheduled. You know, this is going to be one of those ongoing topics of discussion while we have realignment going on. How are we going to keep these rivalries alive that are so important in college football and really are what makes college football so special? You know, the rivalries just mean more than rivalries do in professional sports, frankly. I mean, there are very few rivalries that anybody would take over college rivalries. Maybe I'm a little bit biased just because of the rivalries that I grew up being a fan of course. But, you know, I think beyond maybe Yankees-Red Sox, and I frankly wouldn't go that far myself, I think Michigan-Ohio State's the biggest rivalry there is in football. And I think that really, I think you could put Alabama and Auburn up there too. It's been a little bit one-sided. Of course, but, you know, Oklahoma and Texas, definitely. Maybe that one's even surpassed Alabama and Auburn due to how good the games have been recently, but I could go on and on about all the different rivalries in college football. The fact of the matter is, you know, as much as I do love the Dodgers, every single year, Michigan-Ohio State is a much bigger deal than whenever the Dodgers and the Giants play in a series, even if it's in a playoff series. So, you know, on one hand, I'm excited that, you know, in a divisionless Big Ten, they could play each other 2 weeks in a row, and one of them could be for a conference championship. On the other hand, I'm a little bit sad about the fact that you have matchups like Oregon State that now have to be scheduled based on the athletic directors of each school. It's not something that's just built into the schedule. You know, they're being played at odd times of the year. I mean, we're talking about this. Washington State and Washington are playing on September 14th. So that is the same week that Oregon's playing Oregon State. You know, it's weird that it's September 14th, week 3 of the season. That those two teams are playing such a big game, typically. But of course, now, not a conference game, those being regular out-of-conference games. So I guess technically you could say not as important, and that's why it's being played at that time. But look, rivalries aside, I went on for too long about that discussion. But I do have Oregon State losing that rivalry game. That's their first loss of the year. I have them losing to their old Pac-12 mates at Cal. And then I have them taking 2 more losses on the road to Air Force and to Boise State towards the end of the season. So I do have Oregon State starting out the season pretty well. I do have them losing 3 of their last 5, though, I will say so. You know, a 7-1 start will be really good for them, but, you know, Idaho State's a really easy opponent, frankly, just going through their schedule. San Diego State's not going to be that amazing this year. They're a decent team, but not great. I think they roll through those first 2 games. I think Oregon gives them a challenge. I do think they take the win over Purdue. I don't really see Purdue being much of a threat to a team like Oregon State. And I think that overall this is a good roster, and it's going to be one that ends up just on the outside of the top 25, maybe inside of it if they get some lucky votes. I think I have them in the quote-unquote, in my hypothetical, others receiving votes at the end of the season if things were to turn out this way. But they'll easily be somewhere up there in that mix. Definitely not, in my opinion, a playoff contender just because the schedule is too weak, and I don't think that they're going to beat Oregon. But, I mean, you could make the argument they need to go undefeated with the schedule if they want to have a fair shot of making the college football playoff. I think that's honestly a fair argument, and I think that, you know, even if you lose just to Oregon and you're 11-1, your best win is probably Washington State at home or Boise State or Air Force on the road, and I just don't think that that's going to hold up as well as, you know, I'll just throw out a random team, you know, a team like Florida State, where they're going to have opportunities against Miami and Notre Dame and Clemson, you know, and North Carolina and SMU even, right? I mean, I would say all five of those teams that I just mentioned are probably better than Washington State is going to be this year, and Florida State's playing all of them. So would you rather play five of those teams and be 3-2 in those games, or would you rather play one of those teams and be 0-1 with a close loss and then, you know, just beat a bunch of teams that are a little bit worse than that? I don't think the playoff committee is going to respect that too much in their eyes. I mean, we saw it last year with how Liberty was ranked towards the end of the season, and frankly, I think that was an accurate ranking, as we saw in the bowl game when they got crushed by Oregon. But the fact of the matter is, just without that schedule, it's just going to be tough. And of course, from the Mountain West perspective, while we're on this topic and while we're talking about these conferences, it's a great idea to have these two Pac-12 teams replace conference games for your teams, because those Mountain West teams playing against Oregon State and Washington State is going to be a huge advantage, as opposed to playing extra games within their conference. When you're talking about vying for a playoff spot, obviously there hasn't been a Mountain West team in the playoffs, but maybe with the 12-team playoff and the guaranteed spot for the highest-ranked Group of Five champion, maybe, you know, a Boise State, a San Diego State, you know, maybe in a past year, UNLV this year, Fresno State, maybe one of these teams, Colorado State, maybe one of these teams makes a surge, and because of the heightened strength of schedule, they steal a win at Oregon State, against Washington State, whatever it happens to be, and that might be the thing that sets them apart, that they have that win, and a team like Liberty or a team like Memphis can't get those games on their schedule in the first place. So I think it is beneficial for the Mountain West. I think it's less so beneficial for the Pac-12, obviously. And I think this is also another reason why those teams should just join a conference. I mean, they basically are in the Mountain West as it is. So without that, or beyond that, I'll move on to Washington State themselves. I have them going 7-5, losing that game to Oregon State. Also have them losing to their rivals, Washington, of course. They have a tough conference or out-of-conference schedule in terms of, I guess technically every game for them is out of conference, but as dumb as that sounds. But look, a tough out-of-the-Mountain-West schedule, you could say. They have an easy one against Portland State to begin the season, but then right after that, Texas Tech comes into town, then Washington the week after. I don't think they win either of those games. They definitely have a chance against Texas Tech. That should be a close game, but they have a lot of program turnover, a lot of things going on, obviously, when you think about, you know, moving out of their conference, well, I guess everybody else leaving their conference. They technically didn't move conferences, but you get the point. The roster turnover, you add all those things together. I don't think they're beating a team like Texas Tech that early in the season. They might be able to do that, be that kind of quality team later in the season, but just not that early on. And then Washington is just a team that I think is just a better team, period, and they're playing them on the road. So that one's an easy pick for me. Have them losing also to Boise State and Fresno State a few weeks later. And then finally, going on a long run of wins against some weaker opponents in the Mountain West, but then losing to Oregon State in the second to last weekend of the season. And that means that, of course, both of those teams, though, go bowling in the Pac-12. Neither of them particularly close to the playoff. Oregon State, you might be able to make the argument, is two of those losses away. And frankly, with their schedule, they could easily win, you know, the game against Air Force, the game against Boise State, end up 10-2, and, you know, maybe have a say in the conversation if Oregon has a season they're supposed to, and if Cal has a good season, that, you know, they played a decent enough schedule that maybe they should get in as one of those conference champions. I don't think that's how it's going to end up, though. But with that, let's move on to the Mountain West. Of course, the anchor of those teams' schedules, but we'll start at the top, where I actually have UNLV technically winning the regular season. Now, I say technically because I actually only have them going 7-5, which isn't that crazy of a season, but it's mostly because of their out-of-conference schedule. They play Houston on the road. That game actually will be one of the better games of week one. UNLV has a really, really strong roster for a group of five team. One of the better rosters that there are outside of the group of five. You know, they're up there with the Memphises and the UTSAs, Boise State, obviously. Some of those, Liberty, of course. But look, they're one of those good teams. The only problem is they really only have one gimme game in their non-conference schedule, and that's the game against Utah Tech. Obviously, they're going to win that game. But look, Houston's only favored by 3.5 at home against UNLV, which should tell you that they are a quality program, because the fact of the matter is most of the time Big 12 teams are favored by a lot in these types of games. But they're not in this game because UNLV is, like I said, solid roster, solid team this year. But then they go on the road and play Kansas in week three. So you're looking at three losses there. Or sorry, two losses in the first three games there to start out the season. And then it doesn't get any easier. I do have them beating Fresno State despite having Fresno State at third in the conference. But they play Syracuse in their next non-conference game. That's another good team out of conference. So I have them taking three non-conference losses very, very early on in the season, which makes them 1-3 in the non-con in the beginning, and then they also play Oregon State on the road a few weeks later. So that gives them four non-conference losses. So even though I do have them losing five games overall, the last loss being to Utah State, it does mean that technically they are in the conference championship game with their 7-5 record, because they do go 6-1 in conference in my simulation. Then the only other team I'm going to go that much in depth with is Boise State. I have the Broncos going 10-2. I think, frankly, they are the premier. They're in the top three, I'll say, of the playoff candidates for the group of five. I think the very clear top three is Memphis, Boise State, and Liberty. I think beyond that, there's another tier. You know, like I said, UNLV, it's Fresno State. UTSA is in that mix as well. App State is in there. Texas State, you could throw in there as well. Tulane, Western Kentucky, you know, I'm just listing off teams. Toledo, I'm just listing off teams at this point. But the fact of the matter is, that's kind of a tier below that top three. Boise State, Memphis, and Liberty actually have, I think, like, chances to maybe not win. They're not going to win a game on the road in the playoff, I wouldn't assume. But they could give a team fits, you know, maybe keep a game close for a half or so, and make it look like the 12-team playoff was an amazing idea for competitiveness in the future, while it might not actually be in reality. But moving on from that, Boise State, in terms of their wins and losses, I have them losing to Oregon on the road in their second game of the season. They play some other tough games. You know, they play Georgia Southern on the road. That's kind of an interesting environment, but they have the whole offseason to prepare for that. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. Georgia Southern's not that good. So I'm going to pick Boise in that one. I have them beating Washington State, and I have them beating Oregon State, mostly because they get both of them at home. Also because they get them in stretches where they've been at home for a while. You know, Boise State, the week before they play Washington State, plays Portland State at home. So two home games in a row, actually three games in that span. And at the beginning of the season is a pretty easy road in terms of what your path could be before playing one of those quality teams. And then that Oregon State game is the last game of the season. I just think they're better, honestly, than those two teams. They have Malachi Nelson transferring in from USC, one of the top recruits, really over the past few years, playing quarterback. Cam Camper coming in to play receiver. Another transfer. Look, they have a lot of pieces on this team. Ashton Geante, of course, kind of the, I guess you could say, the anchor of all this, as he was their best player last year in the running game. So they have a lot of pieces that are really honestly better than most Mountain West teams can even match up with at all. And I like what Boise State has, and as a result, I think they're better than those two teams. They get both of them at home, which I think makes it infinitely easier. I do have them losing to UNLV in the regular season, and I do have them coming back, though, and winning that game when they play each other in the conference championship game. However, 10-2 in this conference, I am saying in this exact simulation, isn't quite enough to make the playoff. You'll see why in a few episodes, but they are pretty close. I would say they're the first team left out in terms of that group of five consideration. They won't be ranked far behind the other team that I actually do have making it, but I'm not going to spoil who that is. As for the rest of the conference, I have Fresno State and Colorado State going 5-2 in conference play. Both of them making bowl games at 8-4 and 7-5 each. Wyoming and Air Force are the two other bowl eligible teams in this conference. Wyoming with a 6-6 record, Air Force with a 7-5 record, both of them 4-3 in conference. I have Utah State going 5-7 and also being 4-3 in conference, and San Diego State at 3-4 in the conference, 4-8 overall. Hawaii and San Jose State both at 4-8 overall and 2-5 in conference. And then New Mexico and Nevada, I have both of them going 2-10. Frankly, I mean, you know, when you're looking at bad teams, someone needs to, when bad teams play bad teams, someone needs to win the game. Unfortunately, these two teams happen to be on the wrong end of that multiple times when I was looking at other teams' schedules. So that's how you end up with two 2-10 teams at the bottom of the Mountain West. Doesn't really help that they don't even play each other either. So their schedule is harder than it normally is because they play Oregon State, Washington State instead of playing each other too. So, you know, a lot of errors there in terms of getting those teams wins, but it is what it is. New Mexico gets one conference win, though I have them pulling a crazy upset over Air Force. But you know what? It's college football. Sometimes things like that happen. And that is all I have for the Mountain West and the Pac-12. But thank you for listening to this episode of the 4th and 24 podcast. Please be sure to check out our next podcast, which will be next week, of course, on July 7th, where we will get back to more MLB coverage and then probably talk about a bunch of different things going on in the world of sports in the international competitions, such as, you know, Wimbledon, maybe some Olympic trials, some stuff like that, some NBA free agency news if anything happens beyond what already has happened. You know, you have the Euros going on, you have Copa America going on. I've talked about it before. The Olympics won't start just yet, but we'll talk about all that next week, in addition to talking about the American Athletic Conference towards the latter end of that podcast. But in the meantime, please be sure to check out all of the content on our website, 4thand24.com. That's the number 4, THAND, the number 24.com. Thank you for listening.